Today's daf is daf Tes Zayin, and we'll begin on daf Tes Vav and Beis again with the Mishnah. The Mishnah teaches on the very bottom, Shvua, Shein Yashen, a person though who takes an oath that I won't sleep, Shein Medaber, I won't speak, Shein Mahalich, I won't walk, Aser, he's not allowed to sleep, walk, or speak, because a shvua can take effect on the intangible action. If a person says to his friend, "Karban, lo ochalacha," a karban, I won't eat from you, or "Hey karban, sheochalach," or "Ha karban sheochalacha," by the life of the karban, if I would eat from you. Or low carbon and low ochalacha. He's saying, what I don't eat from you won't be a carbon. What I don't eat is nothing. We don't imply anything from it by saying, oh, but that means that what I will eat is a carbon. In all these cases, mutter, it is allowed, it isn't a shavua. Says the Gemara, we've learned earlier in Daf Yud Gimel, that there was an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. If a person says, Yerushalayim, what I would eat from you, does that make a neder, or does he have to say, Ki Yerushalayim, like Yerushalayim, that which I would eat from you? Rabbi Yehuda requires the Chaf HaDimyon to be matfis, to make a neder. A person has to say, this is like Jerusalem. Just to say Jerusalem is not enough. Well, our Mishnah didn't say you have to say kikarban. Says the Gemara, Mani Masnisin, who is our Mishnah? It must be Rabbi Meir. It must be Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah has to be Rabbi Meir. That's what the Mishnah said. If it was karban lo ochalacha, that's allowed. And implying if it was karban she'ochalacha, it would be prohibited. Even though he didn't say kikarban she'ochalacha. That's like Rabbi Meir. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, because if it's Rabbi Yehuda, he would tell you lo shani lei, he doesn't distinguish between karban she'ochalacha versus ha-karban she'ochalacha. And in all of them, he holds its mutter, so long as he didn't say kikarban she'ochalacha. And therefore, if he would have been the Tana of the Mishnah shouldn't have said the last case of lo-karban, lo-ochalacha, but rather karban she'ochalacha, and tell us that karban she'ochalacha is permitted because he didn't say kikarban. The fact that the Mishnah didn't say that proves that it's Rabbi Meir, that if he would have said karban she'ochalacha, it would have been prohibited. Well, if that's the case, now Ema Seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah was la karban lo ochalacha. It's mutter. If he says la karban, not a karban, and I won't eat from you, that's mutter, because he's not saying about any food that it is a karban. He's not saying a certain food is a karban. He's saying it's not a karban, what I won't eat from you. I vot nam in a Mishnah that la karban lo ochalacha, if he says it's not a karban, or let it be a karban, and I won't eat from you, Rabbi Meir Oser, Rabbi Meir says it is Oser. That's what we learned at the end of the first parak. Because Rabbi Abba explained, if he says lekarban, nasa ka'omer lekarban yehei, what he means is, let it be a karban, lefichach lo'ochalacha, and therefore I won't eat. So lekarban lo'ochalacha really is not la karban, doesn't mean it's not a karban what I won't eat. What it means is, let it be a karban, and therefore I can't eat. It's the Gemara, the same answer that we saw in Daf Yud Gimel. Lo'kash, it's not a contradiction, it depends what he said. Ha da amar likarban. If he uses a shva And he says, Likarban lo ochalacha. Now, le means for the sake of. So if he says, Likarban, and then lo ochalacha, I won't eat from you. So what he's saying is, Likarban ye, hey, let it be a karban. Ulefichach lo ochalacha, and therefore I won't eat from you, and then it's asin. But if he said la karban doesn't mean for karban, it means not a karban. La karban is really a combination of the word lo with karban. So la karban would mean low karban, it's not a karban. So what are you saying? It's not a karban, and therefore I won't eat from you? That's not a reason not to eat from him. If it's not a karban, you could eat from him. So then what he means is, it's not a karban what he won't eat. First of all, that's meaningless. What you don't eat is nothing. There's nothing for it to be a non-karban. And what he won't eat is not a karban, to imply that what he will eat is a karban. What he would have eaten is a karban. So then you have to infer from something. You have to infer from the negative the positive. But this is Rabbi Meir who holds, we don't say mechlal avata shomea hei. Therefore it's not prohibited. So that's what the Gemara answers. Lo kashin, it's not a contradiction. Ha, the Amar, the Mishnah earlier that said that lekarban lo ochalcha is prohibited is when he says with a shva lekarban. That means lekarban yehei leficha lo ochalcha. And our Mishnah that said, and we've explained that our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, but our Mishnah says, La Karban Lo Ochalcha is permitted. It's because he didn't say Le Karban. He said La Karban, or Lo Karban. The Lo Avi Karban Kamar. He's saying, that which I don't eat is not a Karban. Okay. To imply that which he is eat, which he would eat is a Karban, that's Michlal Avata Shameahein. Rabbi Meir doesn't hold of Michlal Avata Shameahein. There's no terminology here of sanctifying something and therefore being prohibited, so then he is permitted.
Rabbi, why is it too much ambiguity? Korban is a korban. Why let it be korban or this korban? It is a korban. The guy has a korban.
If he says this is a korban, there'd be clarity. But he didn't say that. He said other things. And one of the themes of Masechet Nedarim is that a neder has an amazing power. Neder can turn something permitted into something prohibited. That's an amazing power. So for that power to, in fact, happen, the formula's got to be followed. It has to be expressed in the right way.
So he did not say perfectly that this
so is... Then it didn't take effect. That's right.
Because he did not... Okay.
He didn't say the right words. Wow, there's a power, you know, to accomplish something big, you've got to do it right.
That's why he put that ambiguity in there, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Next holy Mishnah, says the Mishnah, further terminologies, and again the halacha of Shavua, as we know, is different than a neder. Shavua is Isser Gavra. Neder is Isser Cheftza. Shavua, if a person says an oath, Lo ochalacha, that I won't eat from anything that is yours. I won't get any benefit from whatever is yours. Or he said, Ha shvua she'ochalacha. In other words, let me be in a state of shvua if I eat from you. So, again, the point of the Mishnah is that there's a big difference between Shavua terminology and Neder terminology. Neder terminology is to link to a Karban. If he would have said, Ha Karban, She'ochalacha, we saw that that's nothing, because what he means is, by the life of the Karban, I'm not eating from you. You can't make an oath by the life of a Karban. Make an oath by God's name, but not an oath by the life of a Karban. But in a shvua, if you use the same phrase, he doesn't say ha-karban, he said instead ha-shvua sh'ochalacha. So then what he means is, I will be in a shvua if I eat from you, and that does take effect. If he said, lo shvua, lo ochalacha, what I don't eat from you is not a shvua, implying what I do eat from you is a shvua, aser. And it does take effect. You might ask me, I don't understand. How could it take effect? Why don't we say that we don't say Mechlal Lav Ata Shomea Hein? So all the Rishonim are bothered with this question. And the Rishonim explain that even according to Rabbi Meir in a Shavua, you do say, Mechla lav ata shomea hein. The Ran explains that the reason why Rabbi Meir doesn't have Michla Lavata Shamea Hain is derived really from a monetary law. It's basically derived from Bnei Gad Ubnei Reuven. The children of Gad and Reuven wanted their land on the other side of the Jordan. So Moshe said you have to first go into the land of Israel to then get your land. And when Moshe told him to go into the land of Israel, he really spelled everything out. He said, if you go in, you'll get your land. If you don't go in, you won't get your land. So why did he have to spell it all out? He could have just said, if you go in, you'll get your land. And then we would have figured out. And if you don't go in, you won't get your land. So apparently to give land, you have to spell it all out. Monetary issues, you have to spell out all the different aspects. Cross all the T's and dot all the I's. It has to be all worked out. So Rabbi Meir holds that a neder, because it's an iser cheftza, something is happening to a tangible object, that's like a monetary issue. So in a neder, you don't say mechlal avat shomea hein. But in a shvua, it's an iser gavra. Something is happening to the person. There's a prohibition on the person. That's really not so much something tangible. So when there's a prohibition on the person in isurim, then already we have to be strict, and you could infer from the negative the positive. So in a Shavua, it would take effect. That's what the Ran explains. All right, Gemara. So our Mishnah said, HaShavua She'ochalach, that's one of the terms of a neder. Michlal, you see from our Mishnah, the Hashvua She'ochalacha means, that phrase, Hashvua She'ochalacha means lo achilna mashma, that I'm not going to eat from you. And therefore, there's a Shvua. Or many, but I'll challenge you, we learned in the very beginning of Mesechet Shvua. So the Mishnah there teaches that if a person makes a shvua and then he violates the shvua, he has to bring a karban. So it begins with shvuo shtayim. There are two forms of oaths of shvuos that are biblical. The Torah says lahara ulehetiv, to do something positive or to do something negative. Shein arba, and then you have another two shvuos that aren't explicit, but they were added from a drasha that also have the law of shvuas bitui. So what are those? Lohara lehetiv is a person who swears she'ochal, that's lehetiv, he swears to eat and then he doesn't eat. Or shelo ochal, he swears not to eat and he does eat. That's lohara, and he in fact ate. So if he did it, he'd have to bring a karban. And then chachamim add two other shvuos. She'ochalti, a shvua that I ate when in fact he didn't eat. Or shelo ochalti, a shvua that I didn't eat when in fact he did eat. So says the Gemara, Midi ka'amar, since it said, Shalo ochal, and then, Yeshvua that I won't eat, Shalo ochal, and Sha'achalti v'shalo achalti, Michlal, that implies, that when he has a Shvua Sha'ochalacha, it doesn't mean a Shvua that I won't eat, means a shvua that I will eat. That's the lehetiv, shvua that I will eat. So here in our Mishnah, though, we said, hashvua she'ochalacha means I won't eat. So what does the phrase mean? Does the phrase shvua she'ochalacha mean a shvua that I will eat? Or does shvua she'ochalacha mean a shvua that I won't get anything from you, a shvua that I won't eat? So mechlal implies to she'ochalacha means the achil namash, that I will eat. Amar Abaye answered, if he says shvua she'ochal, Shtei lishonos mashma. It might depend on the circumstances what that phrase means. Shvua sha'ochal can mean both. It could mean a shvua that I will eat. It could mean a shvua if I would eat. Namely, a shvua that I won't eat. So it depends on the context. Let's say people are putting pressure on Baruch. They say, Baruch, come to our house. We want to have you over. And he says, Achilna. I'm coming. I'm going to eat with you. The Su, not only that, Shvua Sho'ocha. A Shvua Sho'ocha. So then he said he was coming. So then the Achilna Mashva. That means he's swearing that he's going to eat. However, Aval Amar lo achilna. But if we're saying Baruch come, he says, I can't come. I'm not coming. And then Shvua Sho'ochal, Shvua if I'll eat. And then Shvua Sho'ochal means the lo achilna ka'amar, that I'm not going to eat. So it really depends on the context. Shvua Sho'ochal can mean a shvua that I will eat, if right before he said he was going to eat. Shvua Sho'ochal can mean a shvua that I won't eat, if right before he said, listen, I'm not coming, I'm not going to eat from you. That was Abaye's answer. Rav Ashi gave a different answer to resolve the contradiction, whether shvua sha'ochal means a shvua that I will eat, or shvua sha'ochal means a shvua that I won't eat. Rav Ashi, it says like this. If he says shvua sha'ochal, it's that he will eat. But in our Mishnah, she'ochal d'shvua she'iochal ka'amar. In our Mishnah, when it says shvua she'ochal, it's really a misprint. What it should say is that he said shvua she'iochal. The right way to say a shvua that I won't eat would be shvua she'lo ochal. But he said the word shvua she'iochal. Ochal. E also means not. So a shvua that I won't eat. So Gemara says, if that's what's going on, shvua she'i ochal im kem shita. So obviously, if a fellow says a shvua that I won't eat, so then he won't eat. Can't eat. My lememra, what does the Mishnah have to tell us this? What's the Tana teaching us in the Mishnah? So answers the Gemara, it's not so simple. Ma'u de tema would have thought to say that if a person says shvua she'i ochal, Mekum lishnu de itzkale. He's just stammering. Because the word she'ochal sounds similar to she'i'ochal. So maybe he was just, you know, stumbling over his words. He really meant to say shvua she'ochal, a shvua that I will eat. And he ended up saying shvua she'i'ochal, a shvua that I won't eat. So therefore we should say maybe he's obligated to eat. Kamash malah, that we don't say that. He's claiming that's what he meant, but we don't trust him. We say, what were your words? Your words were shvua she'i ochal. Shvua she'i ochal means a shvua that I won't eat, and therefore you prohibited yourself from eating.
But Rabbi, the question makes it simple, so you could digest it. I don't know, I'm so confused. Right now is an invitation, me come to your house. I say, I'm not coming. I'm not. You say, no, come. I'm not coming. So let's say, then I say, well, I will come, but I won't eat anything.
No. You use this phrase, shvua she'ochal ochal.
Which is means?
Now it means that you've made a shvua not to come. Because you kept saying you're not coming.
Okay, so.
Just like it's a shavua, that's it. Just two now sentences.
I said, okay, I'm not coming, but I come. So what happened? Because you insisted.
No, you're in a problem. You have to bring a carbon. You violated your shvua.
Just like that?
Violated your shvua. You have to bring a carbon.
But he didn't swear he's coming, he's not coming.
He did.
Swear.
He said,
I'm not coming.
No, he said, Shvua, Shvua is an oath. He swore.
But he didn't. He just said, you ask him to come over, he said, I'm coming, then he didn't come. So he has to bring the korban.
No, if he didn't go, it's okay.
We'll see.
If he changed his mind.
But, you know, because, let's say, okay, fine, but...
Persians do this all the time. They say coming, they don't come.
No, they come 2 hours later.
But do they take a shvua?
Yeah, but they don't swear.
They don't say the word shvua. They don't say it's an oath.
They
say shvua.
Ochal says eat. It doesn't say come. So
no, Yochal is when he's saying, I'm not coming.
I'm not coming, but you are insisting, no, please come. And through your insisting,
but the person
I
said
changed my mind. So what,
once he made a shvua, he can't change his mind. He has to be matir neta.
So I have to get the korbanot first, and before I come to your house, is that what it is?
And the rabbinical
bring the barbecue.
Okay.
So again, we have a contradiction. One Mishnah says the phrase shvua she'ol chalacha means a shvua that I will eat. The other Mishnah says that shvua she'ol chalacha means a shvua that I won't eat. So we had two answers. Maybe it depends, she'ol chalacha means I won't eat. So maybe it depends on the context. That's Abaye's answer. And the second answer of Ashi says when the Mishnah said shvua she'ol chalacha means a shvua that I won't eat, it's when he said shvua she'i'o chalacha. Abaye lo amar tam ki Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi didn't. Abaye didn't say that the Mishnah saying shvua she'iochel lecha. The lo katani she'iochel, because he doesn't think that there's a printing mistake in the Mishnah. The Mishnah didn't say those words shvua she'iochel. And Rav Ashi nadim in tam da Abaye. Rav Ashi didn't like the reasoning of Abaye that it depends on the context, because ksava, because he holds. The same way Abaye holds shvua she'ochel lecha can mean one way or the other way. So you have to look at the context. Shvua shelo ochal nami mash mashtei lishonos. If a person would say shvua that I won't eat, it also can mean two things. And therefore, if they're pressuring him to eat, and he says, lo achil na lo achil, I'm not coming to eat. And then v'yamar nami shvua, and then he says a shvua. Now whether he says shvua she'ochal or even shvua shelo ochal.
So he has to say,
one second. In other words, if he said lo achilna, lo achilna, in rhetorical phrases, if he says, am I not eating? Am I not eating? They ask him, would you come? And he says, am I not eating? Am I not eating? And then he says, shvua she'ochal. So then what must mean is, or he says, shvua she'lo ochal. He must mean I'm coming to eat. Even if he says shvua shelo ochel, he means, did I swear not to eat with you? Because he's talking rhetorically, so of course he's coming to eat. Ikla terutze nami lishna, shvua shelo ochel. But sometimes we could explain the phrase shvua shelo ochel, that shvua de lo ochel nakamar, shvua, that I'm not going to come to eat. In other words, if he wasn't talking rhetorically, if he's talking simply, I'm not coming, and then he says, shvua shelo ochel. So then shvua shelo ochel means a shvua that I'm not going to come eat. So then why did the Tana talk about shvua shelo ochel to tell us the law that we look at context? Even in shvua shelo ochel, he could have taught us the law of looking at context. Ellis, that's why Rav Ashi felt, Tana Pascha. Tana's not telling us what Abaye thought, but rather, he's saying shvua she'ochel always means de achil mamashma, that I will eat. Shelo ochel means lo ochel mashma, I won't eat. And when the Mishnah said shvua she'ochel, he's not allowed to eat, it's not that he said shvua she'ochel, he said shvua she'iochel. Again, the very big difference between a neder and a shvua is that a neder takes effect on an object, and therefore it can cause me not to be able to fulfill a mitzvah. Whereas a shvua is on the person, and a shvua can never cause me not to fulfill a mitzvah. So if a person swears, I swear not to sit in a sukkah, it's meaningless, he has to sit in a sukkah. However, if he said, as we learned over the last few days, any pleasure from the sukkah has a konam in it, that I can't get any pleasure from it, then he can't go into the sukkah, because now the sukkah has become prohibited, and we would not feed a person that which is prohibited to him. Just like a woman, even though she owes her husband marital relations, she could say, the pleasure of relations is prohibited to me, or your body has in it a prohibition to give me any pleasure of relations, and then we wouldn't force her to get that pleasure. So a neder can ultimately end up handcuffing a person and preventing him from fulfilling a mitzvah.
But Rabbi, in both these examples with the sukkah and the relationship with the wife, it's an obligation, right? It's an obligation for the man and the woman to have relations, and it's an obligation to sit in the sukkah. So how can you make a shvua that nullifies an obligation? A Torah obligation, right?
The shvua you can't take, but the neder you could take, because since the neder took effect, because the neder your question is what all the Rishonim deal with, but one of the answers, the Ramban says this, is that a shvua is on me. The neder is on the object. So it's sort of like roundabout. The object doesn't have a mitzvah on it. So the neder took effect on the object. Once there's a neder, now I can't deal with it.
Even though that you have...
It ends up causing me unable to fulfill the mitzvah, but it did it without a frontal clash.
Contradicting the mitzvah.
Is it specific to that sukkah then? Does it mean that
depends what the neder was, right? If he may have made a neder on that sukkah, he may have made a neder on all sukkahs.
Yes, so can you avoid the sukkah altogether with this idea?
If a person made a neder, then he couldn't fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah.
Until he matirs it.
Until there would be a tarasa neder.
It
right.
seems to be problematic, right? It's a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah.
It's a mitzvah to keep Torah, your right? neder.
I'm sorry?
It's also a mitzvah to keep nidarim.
Right, but didn't we learn in the beginning that you cannot...
You can't make a shvuah against the Torah, but you can make a neder that then causes you to be unable to fulfill a mitzvah of the Torah.
Sounds like neder trumps. Neder exactly. trumps.
It's an indirect consequence.
Because the neder is on the object.
It's an indirect mm-hmm. consequence.
And then indirectly, you can't do the mitzvah. Whereas a mitzvah is on me, and if I take a shvua to go against it, so there's a clash that I can't do.
Becoming a nazir is a shvua?
Neder.
But it's on you. That's what I mean. That's you're the object. But
there you are, your body's the object. Says the Mishnah, Zechomer b'shvuos mi b'nedarim. Till now we've been talking about nedarim. Now we have a stringency of shvuah over neder. But Chomer nedarim mi b'shvuos. We also know that there are stringencies of nedarim over shvuos. Kate said, for example, Amar, if a fellow says, Ko name sukkah. Shani oseh. There is a neder on the sukkah, and I won't make a sukkah. Or lulav, there's a neder on lulav, shani notel, and therefore I can't lift up the lulav, because I can't get any benefit from it. I can't use it. Or tefillin, shani meiniach, there is a neder in the tefillin, and therefore I can't place them on me. Benedarim aser, when you make such a neder, now he can't put on tefillin, shake lulav, or build a sukkah. Beshvuas mutter, whereas if you would say a shvua that I'm not putting on a tefillin, or a shvua that I'm not going to sit in the sukkah, It wouldn't take effect. It would be mutter. Sheinish b'alav or la mitzvos, because you can't take a shvua. The shvua can't take effect to make you violate a mitzvah. So first the Gemara is bothered with the terminology. Mishnah said, Zechomer b'shvuos mi b'nedarim. This is a chumra of a shvua more than nedarim. Chumra means there's more here. Michlal the nederhu. It sounds like the intangible things, let's say shvua shalo ochalacha, shvua that I won't eat, it's more chamor with a shvua than a neder. But in a neder also there was a problem. But how could that be? If a person says neder shalo ochalacha, mutter katani, we learned that that's completely mutter, that there was nothing that took effect. In the Gemara, when the Mishnah says, zechomer b'shvuos mi b'nedarim, this is a stringency of a shvua more than neder, it's not referring to the phrase shvua lo ochalacha, but rather asefa the idach babi katani. It's referring to the end of that earlier Mishnah, where it said shvua sheini yashen, a shvua that I won't sleep, or shvua eini medaber that I won't speak, or shvua eini mahalech, a shvua that I won't walk, where aser that takes effect. It's a shvua. So in that it's saying, uvas in there, zechomer b'shvuah b'nedaros, b'nedarim. There, it would take effect in a neder midrabana. And in a shvuah, there's a stringency, it takes effect midoraisa. But in the case of karban, lo ochalacha, which doesn't take effect at all in a neder, when it said shvuah lo ochalacha, there you wouldn't say shvuah is more chamor. There, shvuah has an impact, and neder doesn't. We learned in the Mishnah, Chomer b'nedar mi b'shvuos. What's the stringency of a neder over a shvua? The stringency of a neder over a shvua is that a neder can make it impossible for me to fulfill a mitzvah. Whereas if I take a shvua against a mitzvah, it doesn't take effect. Okay, and the Gemara gives example. Mishnah gives examples. Rav Kahani Masne. Rav Kahana used to say that Amar Rav Gidol Marav. The following lesson is from Rav Gidol on the name of Rav. Rav Tevyumi Masne, that it was Amar Rav Gidol Amar Shmuel. Rav Gidol in the name of Shmuel. Minayin she'en nishbayin la'avar la'mitzvos. How do we know that if a person takes a shvua not to sit in a sukkah, or not to shake lulav, or not to put on tefillin, that it doesn't take effect? That there is no shvua to obligate a person to violate a mitzvah? Talmud Lomer, because the pasuk says, Ish ki yidor neder la'ashem o yishava shvua, lo yachel devaro. He may not make empty, he may not annul his word. Devaro lo yachel. If it's his word, he may not make that empty. Avol meichel hu lechefzei shamayim. But what he can make empty are matters that aren't his matters, but matters of God. What do you mean he can make matters of God empty? What it means is that if he took a shvua about a matter of God, that shvua can be made empty because that shvua doesn't take effect. Says the Gemara, Maishna neder. Why would we say that a neder can take effect? Because the pasuk says, Ish ki yidor neder lashet. A man who will make a neder to God, and then it continues on, lo yachel devaro. So even though he made a neder about God, he may not violate his word. Well, shvua also, the pasuk says, the word la'ashem. Haksiv, doesn't it say there, oh, yishava shvua la'ashem? Or if he would swear an oath right after it said la'ashem, and then it continues with lo yachel devaro. So why don't we say that if you make a shvua about God, still you can't desecrate your word. So Amar Abaye, Abaye explained. Ha, in a neder, da Amar Hanah Sukkalai. The neder is where he says, any pleasure from the sukkah is prohibited upon me. So he makes a prohibition in the object about the pleasure that that object would produce. That can take effect. Ha, but in a shvua, damar shvua shalo enem in a sukkah. He says a shvua that I will not benefit from sukkah. But God already told me, you better go into the sukkah. Now I'm saying I won't go into the sukkah, I won't benefit from the sukkah. So that's to conflict with God. And therefore, it doesn't take effect.
And is it because he's saying sukkah meaning any sukkah? If he said that sukkah, it would be different.
No. Same. All is the same. Right.
But it's because she's talking about himself now.
It's because in the neder, it's the object.
Right.
And in the shvua, it's on the person.
So because it's on the person, he can't do it. He can't do it because it's a mandatory.
So Amar Rava, so Rava understand. If a person says, the sukkah has a prohibition, and therefore I can't get any benefit from it. V'chi mitzvahs lehanos nitnu? Is a mitzvah getting benefit? When you do a mitzvah, you're not getting benefit. There are a lot of things that you can't get benefit from. Avodah zarah, kilayat karem, milk that was cooked together with meat. But you could use those things for mitzvah, because a mitzvah is not a benefit. Ela amar Rava, so Rava therefore said like this. A neder can take effect. Damar yeshivas sukkah alai. He said, the sitting in the sukkah is prohibited to me. Vaha, where the shvua doesn't take effect. Damar shvua shalo eshiv basukkah. A shvua that I won't sit in the sukkah. So since he's saying, I won't sit in the sukkah, but I'm obligated to sit in the sukkah by God, that doesn't take effect. But when he says, the sitting of the sukkah should be prohibited to me, So it doesn't really mean the sitting of the sukkah. It must mean he said konam sukkah. There's a prohibition on the sukkah in terms of being seated in it upon me. So then the sukkah is something tangible. And since it's something tangible, the neder takes effect on the sukkah and prevents him from fulfilling the mitzvah.
That sukkah, or now instead?
He could say both. This case is where he said that sukkah, or he could say
any sukkah.
Any sukkah. Konam sukkos yeshivasam alai. All sukkos have a korban quality that I can't sit from them upon me.
He could change his mind.
To change his mind, he would have to be matir neder. You have to remove it by going to the Tamid Chacham.
Wow. But for neder.
For both.